plagued a potential nugget.
The other piece, Karthik, is one is, again, at the time of making the decision, we often don't have a realistic sense of what the journey looks like. But having been on this path for a while, give us a sense of the reality of this path, right? Again, I'm curious about what the highs are like and what the lows are like in the path. And the reason I ask is the academic path is a bit like medicine. It's a long pipeline before you see the light at the end of the tunnel, right? For a minute, if we look at the years to take to complete a PhD plus the years it takes to get tenure, it's a non-trivial pipeline. So it'll be good to get a sense of the reality of the journey, the highs and the lows.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked me that because, you know, while I told you what was my path and I sort of followed it in an opportunistic way without necessarily planning, doing the research and so on, I would never recommend that path to people because, you know, people do join academia, drop out during a PhD program, during their academic career. So understanding that process is useful. As you said, it's a pretty big time commitment. You know, when I joined my PhD program, I was told that the median time to completion to PhD in my program was about 6.5 years. I was fortunate to finish it in 4, but let's say you take it as 6.5, a tenure path is again 6 to 9 years. So you're talking about committing anywhere from 12 to 15 years to get to the point where you are a tenured professor. But, you know, for most of that period, the pressure is on and, there are, you know, you're a student for a big chunk of it and so on. So you cannot do it because, you know, you have a relative who has a PhD and you kind of say, hey, 3 uncles are professors or a PhD, so I'll do it.
True.
You can't do it because somebody says it's a stable job. So I think you have to like going deep into a subject. You have to be a self-starter because there's no one breathing down your neck. So I think, at the end of the year as an academic, there's an assessment done that determines things like, promotions and tenure at the end of 6 years. But really, you don't have a boss. And so you have to be a self-starter. But you asked me about the highs and the lows.
Before we go there, if I said at the point of making the decision, what are the 3-4 questions students should ask themselves to determine if the path is right for them? Are there any lead indicators they could look at for the career they've had so far for them to say, you know what, maybe academia could make sense for me?
Okay, that's a good one. So I'd say the lead indicators for me, one, you have to enjoy going deep into a subject. So, you know, my wife's advisor once described this to her as, you know, more and more about less and less. So you keep going deep and you keep specializing. So you have to have that level of interest in going deep. That doesn't mean you don't like breadth. I'm a person who generally prefers breadth, which is why I'm in startups and those kinds of things. But you also have to have an interest in going deep. So that's one. I think the other one is you should be okay working alone. It is not a social profession. You're not like in an industry, in industry jobs, you're not working with large teams towards a common goal. You're typically working with closed doors all alone, thinking deep about a problem. I teach alone. I do most of my research alone. In some rare cases, you have a collaborator, but that's at most 1 or 2 other people. So it's not a very social profession. And also, you have to be a self-starter, like I said. So you don't have anyone constantly guiding you or setting deadlines. You have to set the deadlines. You have to wake up and say, I could watch TV all day or just surf all day, but I'm going to get some work done. So you have to be a self-starter. So these, to me, are lead indicators. If you're not these, don't even bother.
And moving on to the highs and the lows.
Oh, yeah. So the highs and the lows, again, these are things I didn't appreciate then, but now I can reflect and kind of say to me, the high, which I didn't know back then, is the flexibility that the profession affords. You set your own schedule. You have no boss. Now, don't get me wrong. There is hard work involved, but it's very independent. And so you get to pick your own projects, your own problems. So it's not because, you know, a client is paying you, you have to do this, even if you're not excited about this. So you do it because you care about that problem. So the good news is you go deep, but you can pick what you go deep in.
Got it.
And so in that sense, I would say the high is essentially that it's very entrepreneurial without the risk profile of a startup entrepreneur.
Interesting.
The low for me personally, when I faced it was when I was in the second or third year of my job at Wharton, where, you know, it had been roughly a year and a half since I had successfully published gotten a paper accepted at a journal. So all those papers I was submitting to journals were coming back rejected. Mm-hmm. And I was working weekends, evenings, and working alone. Like I said, it's not social. And then I had just started my startup called Yodel around that time, and that was doing reasonably well. So I was kind of tempted to leave this and go towards a company that was doing much better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the lows are the kinds of things I mentioned. You know, you have to work alone. You need to, you know, you don't have much of a team sharing the lows with you. You also need to be a little bit thick-skinned. Because academia is kind of a very objective profession, so people will just say it as is in terms of the problems with your work. And you have to be thick-skinned and objective. So I think these are some of the lows.
The interesting bit about making a career choice when you're young is that you often don't have enough data points which give you insights on what gives you energy. And sometimes you might have to look beyond academics to really get to the bottom of where you get your energy. A lot of times I realize that the extracurriculars that people pursue has clues into what really gives them energy. Let's say when you're graduating from your 12th, are you the kind that likes to play chess, or do you like to play team sports where there's a lot of social interaction with others? You know, really looking at your life holistically and looking for data from different elements of your life might give you clues into what gives you energy and might inform some of the career choices when you're really young. Thank you for listening.